Well, good to be with you today. I hope and pray that this message will encourage you, will also challenge you, but give you some clarity, some steps of how you can have a deeper, more faithful walk with the Lord, a flourishing walk with the Lord. I have a little seedling here coming out of the ground. This seedling is to help us to imagine again how God is wanting to cultivate in us a life with Him. A life that's growing in Him. Now, you may feel that you're way beyond a seedling. The reality is, it's not about our age, believe it or not. It's not even about our church experience. It's about our openness and our ability to learn to listen, to stop and listen to the Lord, to talk with the Lord, to pray with the Lord. You need to know that God is present, that you can have a conversation with Him, and that He cares about you and what happens to you. But it's not just for that moment. No, God is wanting to help you flourish. He wants you to grow like these redwoods. He wants you to be the person He created and designed you to be. And then live out this life you've been given in connection with Him. That as you walk day by day, doing in the world what God's called you to do, bringing your hope and your joy of your relationship with Him everywhere you go. We've been looking through Luke and how Luke can help us know Jesus better, can help us know how to trust Him more faithfully, to know that God is at work. And I just want to encourage you that as you read Luke, there's going to be areas that you're going to want to dig in more. You know, that in Christmas time, we look at his birth and John, the baptizer, his cousin's birth. And then we look at how Jesus prepares for ministry and then how he starts calling everyone that he's, you know, equipping to train up and to teach. And he's proclaiming this great word, this great news that God is doing right before them. And as they're going, and this is the part I love about our scriptures, our text, is that as they go, they start to discover, they start to ask better questions. They start to see things that they never saw before. This Jesus did something different. This Jesus was someone that no one else was like or has ever been like. The uniqueness of Jesus, I'm never surprised more because I'm like, oh, there's again. Of course there is. There's always moments where you're like, whoa, what is Jesus doing there? Good stuff, really good stuff, and I hope it will encourage you in your walk. I have again this picture of a reservoir that's just overflowing. And this I shared a little bit with you last week, but if you weren't there with us, this actually comes from an old saint, Bernard of Clairvaux. He was around 1100s. And in his time, he shared about the importance of serving, of being in the world, serving though out of a reservoir and not a canal. A reservoir is a place where clean water is gathered and then used and distributed. A canal in his day would have been like a gutter that only is filled when a storm comes through, a big, you know, rainstorm that comes in and it comes in and out. And it's a lot of times I know that I have a tendency that as soon as I find something from the Lord, man, I'm trying to give it to other people. And there's nothing wrong with that spirit. But I was reminded in reading about a little bit of his life recently that he challenges people about the second commandment. The second commandment does not say, love your neighbor more than yourself. And I was like, okay, that's interesting how he put that. I like what he did with that. You know, we need to have regular times of refreshment for ourselves with our Lord. And that's what today's all about. And so if you have a dynamic, flourishing, vital relationship with the Lord, keep it up. Keep it going. I hope this will help just kind of encourage you and support you. If you don't know where to begin to pray, in fact, when someone says pray, you go, who's going to do it? You know, kind of one of those things. Then I want to encourage you that you're not in on your own, that prayer is a learned behavior. It's something that we develop, we cultivate, and it's something that you can be encouraged in. That it's not about having to say fancy words or having a big vocabulary. It's really about becoming more aware that God is already there, becoming more aware and open and surrendering so that you can know Him better, You can turn down the volume of all the other things going on in the world and be encouraged that your hope doesn't come from who's ever been elected. Your hope doesn't come from how much you have in the bank. Your hope doesn't come from any of that. Your hope, my hope, our hope comes from Jesus. And it's a moment by moment time with him that will help us in through that time. So I hope that encouraged you to get us started. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 11. If you want to open up your Bibles, chapter 11, again, 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4. And just so you know, this is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is something that has been prayed for 2 millennia. You know, it's but in all different languages all over the world, which is beautiful and wonderful. But let's not miss that Jesus isn't just wanting us to know the prayer. He wants us to know the order of the prayer. He's teaching his disciples about prayer, and we'll get into that. So let's jump into the text. What do you say? One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. So he's praying. Now, just so you know, in first century Judaism especially, Jesus being a rabbi, his Talmudines, his disciples, would have been following him wherever he went. We know that was what happened back then, and it's happened throughout the last 2,000 years. It still happens to today. In parts of Jerusalem, you can actually see a rabbi and his Talmudines following quickly behind him because they don't want to miss anything. And so here he's praying in just a place, and they're observing him. And I just want to encourage you. Do you have a place? Do you have a place that you can be still before the Lord? Maybe do you have a time? Some people are great in the mornings. Then you should probably set aside some time and seek him out then. If your prime time's in the evening, then that needs to be your time. Don't feel like, oh, I got to be up at 6 in the morning to do this. If that's not your time, that just doesn't make sense, right? So just think about it. This is someone that loves you, that wants to, it's kind of like a date night kind of thing with our Lord, right? He wants to spend a special time just with you. And he wants you to be fully engaged, right? So do you have a place, do you have a time that you can be in front of him and just surrender and be still? And so there's some things I would like you to think through, practices I'd like you to maybe even consider doing, okay? So hope you have something to write with, take some notes, or put it on your phone or something. So let's go back to the text. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now again, these disciples have been through the Jewish training at that time period, that they would have, by the time, check this out, by the time they were like 10, maybe 11, they would have memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament, memorized. By the time teenage years, they would have memorized the rest of the Old Testament. And so it's one of those where you just go like, okay, they've been instructed, they've seen it, but Jesus is apparently doing it differently. He's doing it in a way that causes them to go, huh, you know, like, how do you do that? Show us how to do that, right? And I think that's something that's important for us to pay attention to, because if we don't understand that prayer, again, is learned, we can miss it. We just think, oh, it's just not me. I'm just not spiritual enough. And that's not the way the scriptures portray what prayer is about. Many of us are after, you know, trying to figure it out, and that's good, but don't feel like you have to say the same words someone else says. It's a conversation. It's being still. It's breathing out all the stuff that's weighing you down, and then breathing him in, and all to his glory, all so that you can become the person God's called you to become. It's something that doesn't happen overnight. In fact, I want to give you some freedom here, some grace to take some time in this. Don't beat yourself up. Oh man, I only prayed for 30 seconds. Great, great job. You prayed for 30 seconds more than you probably were. In time, you might pray for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or much longer. The reality is it's not about necessarily the quantity though. It really is a quality. Now, if you have quality and quantity, I mean, that's when you know you're in the zone. That's when you know that there's this alignment, that you're in step with the Lord, and your prayers and your focus and your attention and your desire is about honoring Him and glorifying Him. So I want to encourage you in that. So this is what Jesus says. He said to them, when you pray, say. Now, I find this interesting in the fact that when you pray, like one, he's already saying, okay, you're expected to be having a conversation with our Heavenly Father. You're expected, I'm expected that when you pray, it's not a if you pray, right? It's when you pray. And then he says the word say. Like, it's not just pray whatever, but there's an order to things. And so I think that's really important to see how he unpacks this. Okay, ready? So the very first thing he says is, ready? Father. Interesting. And again, this isn't about mother, father, or any type of gender or anything like that. What this is about is knowing who we are praying to, knowing who is Lord. And he calls him Father, so we call him Father. Jesus is the exact representation of our Heavenly Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you want to know the Father, come to know me. And so, but he's laying it out there. Seek the one, know the one who knows you, who started it all. He says, Father, hallowed be your name. Another way of saying it is, holy is your name. Your name is holy. And again, that's this word hallowed or holy is not, it's not like super spiritual. What it is designed for is for us is to know that there's no one like our God. That he's one, he's the only one like him. And we should know who this God is. And that's where prayer is based in. It's rooted in the who. And when we begin to understand and live into how amazing and good our God is, then we'll be ready to move on in our prayer. But we got to get that right. We got to get be on the same page and, again, know who he is. Know who we're not. We are not God. We are not Lord. We are not the king of the kingdom. No, we have our small kingdoms that we all get bent out of shape over. But no, he's the one who's the true king. And so he goes on. He says, say, right? Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Note, this is, again, not our kingdoms coming, but his. That maybe you have been struggling. I've had a number of conversations these last several weeks with people that are almost overwhelmed with what's going on in the world, with the challenges that seems to be just around every corner, with COVID going on. I mean, just there's so much that people feel like they just can't. They don't know what to do. Do you know Jesus as your hope? Do you know him as your peace? Because that's the only hope and peace that will truly carry you through this difficult season. That's what I have found. And if you have been caught up in worry, if you've been caught up with just being overwhelmed with anxiety, then I want to invite you to be filled afresh. Remember again that reservoir picture. How it just is overflowing. That reservoir wasn't filled in a moment. It wasn't filled in a day. It took time. And our God is infinite, and his timing is perfect, and he wants you to be overflowing in hope and in love and in faith, to be flourishing in him. And I want to encourage you to reach out to him in prayer so you'll be ready for all the challenges that you face. Jesus continues, give us each day our daily bread. Now, I find this really important in that he doesn't start the prayer with his needs or our needs, right? It's not like, okay, let's just go to God and tell him, hey, and there's nothing wrong with sharing with God our needs. He knows it before we know it, what our needs are going to be, okay? It's important, though, that, again, who is the Lord? Knowing who he is, knowing who we are not, praying for his kingdom to come, praying that we'll be open and receptive to, again, what he's wanting to do, and then his kingdom coming, and then asking God to provide for our needs. And here's the thing, God provides. Following Jesus necessitates learning to depend on God for your needs. I can't say how proud I am of so many people in our church family that not only gave this past year sacrificially, but for so many, it was their first time giving. And I was just blown away by how God provided through our church family, that people sacrificed and leaned into it. And that is just like a big shout out, a neon sign to God saying, I am trusting you. And I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for trusting in the Lord. Thank you for leaning in. Thank you for serving. Thank you for being open to how the Lord's leading. But trusting the Lord with what you need, you get more hope and faith and trust as you do it, as you use it, as you put yourself out there. It's just so beautiful when we see God provide and you're like, okay, it's just amazing. Anyhow, let's go back to the text. He says this, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." And it's pretty clear here that, you know, we need forgiveness, that we as a humanity are broken, are marred, that we need rescue, we need a savior. If we didn't have sin, Jesus wouldn't say we need to confess it. And I know that in some circles, they're like, well, you know, we don't really have sinned anything. I haven't done anything really bad. Anything that takes the place of Jesus or our Father is a sin. Anything that keeps us from enjoying his grace, his love, is something that's not the way God designed it. And so we need to confess those things. We need to confess our challenges. And the longer I run the race, the longer I walk with the Lord, it's not that I feel like God's like pointing, oh, and this, and I feel like I'm having to like dodge and weave. No, I find that I am more aware of, oh my goodness, Lord, I've really probably hurt you by doing this, haven't I? Or I didn't even think about that, how that might have hurt someone else. And he's like, he knows. He knows in the course of time. He's in time. He's outside of time. He knows where we're at. And he's like, oh, I've been waiting. I knew that it was going to be coming up. And then there it is. You figured it out. But it takes time. We got to have a regular time of confession. We got to confess. And then we got to receive. And Jesus invites us to confess and receive forgiveness. But we also have to learn to forgive. And as we see and know God's forgiveness for us, it's so much easier to forgive. It's so much more doable. And there's going to be things in your life that you're going to need God's help to forgive. That not to make excuses, not to say everything's fine, but there's going to be those moments in your life that just seems overwhelming. And you can't even imagine forgiving the person. And I just want you to know that if you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need God. But as you and I know more of God's story and how our story fits in God's story and what he's doing to restore everything to himself, then we'll be more open again to following and obeying what he says we need to do. And he knows that that forgiveness actually frees us. It allows us to live the life that he's always intended. And then he wraps up the prayer in this. And this is a different kind of ending than most people when they say the Lord's Prayer. But this is how he ends it. And lead us not into temptation. And what I want to encourage you to do is as you are seeking the Lord, as you are leaning in and saying, Lord, I want to know you better. Know this, that you and I need to create an order for our lives. A rule of life is how it used to be called. Saint Benedict, who, by the way, Bernard of Clairvaux was a Benedictine monk. And so he had grown with this order and what it was like and what this rule of life meant, excuse me. And so it was something that we as followers of the Lord can implement every day. I mentioned to you a time and a place. You might have multiple times where you just maybe you set an alarm on your watch and you just or your phone and okay, every time this rings, I'm going to be lifting up our nation, or I'm going to be lifting up those facing the coronavirus. I'm going to be lifting up those who are caring for our frontline workers. I'm going to be lifting up my church. I'm going to be lifting up my soul, my heart, my life. Where are you leaning into what God has for you? It doesn't happen just accidentally. We need to be very intentional about how we order our lives, how we order our days, so that we can persevere, so that we can be open to discover who we are in Christ. I put a little image up here to kind of show you just something. And this is something that I will show in premarital counseling. I kind of take this triangle, right? And the easiest way to get close to each of our, say to our spouse, is as we work closer to get to know the Lord, we'll actually grow closer to each other. The times when I've tried to force my way across this way, it doesn't usually work very well. and I miss the moment. I miss the opportunity to see how God wants to be absolutely involved in my marriage. Now, that's just one relationship. This can be just with close friends, other family members. This can be any other person in the world. God loves all of his creation, and he is working to restore and rescue all of it to himself. And so as we get closer to God, it's helping us to have love and compassion for others. It's something that I hope will encourage you, but as we seek to know and be known by the Lord, we're going to grow closer to each other. And so if you've maybe been struggling in relating to people or even relating to the church, I want to encourage you to hold on to this image. Lord, help me to grow closer to you. And as I grow closer to you, you'll help me to grow closer to other people. So in this rule of life, one area I want you to just really try to wrap your mind around, and it's something that in our culture we're not really good at. We're just not. Solitude and silence. One, we're never alone, okay? So even when we're in solitude, even when I'm cutting out all the distractions, I'm turning my phone off, all my devices, and I'm just going to be still before the Lord. I'm just going to, and you might be still by maybe walking around a lake or be still by walking in a park or on a beach. That's fine, but that stillness is, you're not like, mowing the lawn, okay, or something like that. I mean, yes, it can be mindless, but it's just to just be present before the Lord. And as you're there, know this, you're not alone and you're not always going to be aware. I know I'm not, but we're always surrounded by God's Spirit. And we just are giving space for God to meet us where we're at. This practice of solitude and silence is something that, again, I've mentioned before, but our culture is just, it's almost like I feel like I have to repeat it weekly just because, even in my own life, because it's just so much. It's always so loud. Went to dinner this last week with my wife. It was a great, great time for her and I to share. But we go to going to an outdoor restaurant, so we're, trying to be safe with protocols and everything like that. But it was so loud. I could barely, in fact, where we were waiting for our table, we didn't even talk almost 10 minutes because I couldn't hear her. I couldn't hear a word that she would say. So I'm like, we have her mask on. I'm like, let's just take a time out kind of thing. We have so much noise, whether it be having the TV on or the radio on. There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But there's so much more in just being still, though, and the silence of just not being afraid of whatever comes up, what the Lord leads and opens up to you. So as I wrap this up, Jesus wants you and I to have life. To have life to the fullest is what he says in his book in John. And in that fullness, here's what I found. We find that fullness in serving with him, in serving others, in loving him and loving others. We find this in how we connect with the people around us, that he's made us for relationships. He's made us for him and for others. And I want to encourage you to just be open in this time that we're going to take for prayer and this time we're going to take for praising God and being still before him. I just want to invite you to talk to him about this. Talk to him about your fears, your struggles, your questions, and let him know where you're at, because he's so good and he loves you so very much. Now let's take a moment and pray before we part. Heavenly Father, before we jump into a time of being still before you, before we go into song, we thank you for for always being there with us, for teaching the disciples how to pray and what to pray. Give them insight and wisdom, and help us, like them, be the people that you want us to be. You've called us to go. You've called us to be and become. Help us to be people that seek after you. We humbly pray. In your name, amen. Well, it's not hard, but I want you to embrace the waste. Now, here's what I mean by that. I want you to embrace the waste, to get rid of all the guilt that you might have of when you are being silent and when you are in solitude, that you're not wasting time. I know that I'm a very practical guy, and I want to check things off my list. I want to make sure things are getting done. We don't have time for this, dilly-dally, whatever. I want to get it done. The reality is that many times when we feel we have something we have to do and cannot do nothing, we're missing it. Again, we're never alone. God's always with us. And it's not about what we produce. It's about just being open. It's about surrendering and saying, Lord, not my will, your will. Help me to embrace that. And I want to encourage you. I don't know if you ever heard of this. The Sabbath is this once a week time that the people of God are told to not do any work and to celebrate with family. They begin at mealtime, at dusk, at the night before, and it goes 24 hours. But they begin in community over a meal. And then as they celebrate that, and then throughout the day, they just are reminded not of their value on what they've made that week or what they've created, what they've produced. No, their value comes from being a child of God. And I want to encourage you that you too can have that freedom. You too can embrace that give yourself space to not have to do something. And I'm not just saying because you're exhausted and so you just don't have any energy to do anything anyways. I'm talking being still and not feeling. And if you feel, oh, I can't do this, just breathe it in, let it go, embrace the waste. The definition of Sabbath is this: wasting time with God. Waste time with God. Embrace the waste, I pray. Now, before you go, we have some homework. Two things. I'd like you to sign up to go to the Ego Gathering. Now, if you're totally online, then I would like you to sign in through the church app, and we'll follow up with you and let you know all the information so that you can participate virtually through this. We would love for you to learn and grow and see what God's doing through the movement called Eco. And then I'd also, if you are going to be in person and you're comfortable with it and everything, we'd love for you to, again, join us at Indian River Presbyterian Church. But again, got to sign up. It's free. Doesn't cost a thing. It's our gift to you. We just want you to flourish. We want you to grow and be encouraged. So, and then next week, we're going to actually have a special message about what God's doing at Eco. But we're going to continue our reading through Luke. And so we're kind of breaking up some of the readings. But Luke 13 through 15, we hope you'll join us. If you, again, need an immersed Bible, let us know. We'll be glad to get one to you as soon as possible. But we just are so glad that we could share this time together. Pray that you're encouraged. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He's placed you there for a reason. He has a purpose for you being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.